Good evening.
Good evening.
ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו.
אמן.
אוקיי, פרשת בלק. פרשת בלק, I think one of the big lessons of the parasha is the idea that you can know God, believe in God, and still do the bad in the eyes of God. Which sometimes we think that people, if they are God-fearing people, they would be, how we say, tzaddikim. But unfortunately, not everybody who believes in God is a tzaddik. We think sometimes that it has to go together. You know, you don't respect God if you don't believe in Him. You don't do the mitzvahs because you don't believe in God. But if you believe in God, of course you're going to do the mitzvahs. So in our parasha we see two figures that know God. And you have to understand, they know God in a very high level. One of them even says, Yodea da'at elyon. He knows exactly what God wants. Now, this guy, if he knows what God wants, what is he doing? The opposite. It's like Balak is sending messengers to Bilam. He wants him to curse Am Yisrael. Okay, they come to him, and if we look at the surface, we are dealing with a tzaddik. He tells them, "I'm sorry, I have to ask God. I cannot do anything if God doesn't allow me. I have to ask permission. So, stay here tonight, and tomorrow I'll tell you my answer." And at night, God reveals himself to him and tells him,
Don't go.
He wakes up in the morning, the tzaddik, and he tells the messenger, "Sorry, God is not allowing me to go. Bye-bye. Tzaddik. Okay. Balak gets the messengers back and understands that Bilam doesn't want to come. So he thinks to himself, he knows Bilam, is this guy is a very arrogant guy. He thinks about himself, wow, that he is the God gift to the world. And maybe I didn't honor him enough. And the messengers I send are a very low level. I have to send much higher level messengers. So that's what he does. He sends higher level messengers. And they come to Bilam. And now, what would you think instead of Bilam? This God-fearing guy that God just told him yesterday, you cannot go. What do you think he should do now when they come again?
Send them away.
Tell them, sorry, you've been here. God doesn't let... What is he doing? It's okay, stay, I'll ask God again. It's like, you know, somebody's going to come to a father or a mother and tell, can I hit your children? Can I kill them? Can somebody come in a very good condition and ask a rabbi, can I eat on Yom Kippur? There are certain things, you know, that everybody understands that the logic behind it. This Bilam, he knows that Am Yisrael are the children of God. And he wants to go and curse them. So God told you once, don't go. So again, you're asking this stupid question. And God reveals him and tells to him, if those people came to call you, which is very strange, אם באו אליך אנשים לקרוא לך, לך always, let's go to Abraham, לך לך מארצך, told to Abraham, לך is for your own good, לטובתך. In other words, God is really hinting him, you have powers, I gave you powers, check with your powers, if to go with them would be a good thing for you or a bad thing. Is Bilam checking?
No.
He wakes up in the morning, and he goes. And then something very interesting happens. On the way, an angel reveals himself to his donkey, and three times the donkey stops, three times he hits the donkey, and then eventually he sees the angel and is asking him, if God doesn't want me to go, I'll go back. But then the angel says, no, that's it. You started this, you're going to finish it. Now the question is, this is very strange, because now God told him you can go with them. So why is he trying to stop him with the angel? And what is this game? The first time he tells him, don't go. The second time he tells him, go. Then he goes, he's stopping him. And then after he's stopping him, he's telling him to go. What is this, a game? What does God want us to learn from this? Or Chaim HaKadosh says, God doesn't change his mind. And this is exactly the point. What God wants us to understand is how Rashi says, Sharsheret HaKelev Biyad Be'alav. Sharsheret HaKelev, the chain of the dog is in the hand of the owner, on the master. It's like, you know, you walk on the street with a dog, you have this chain, and you know, you have those that you can open them and give the leash, they can go farther, and then you can stop him and
push back.
And pushing back. So God wants everybody to know that Bilam, he is like this dog. He doesn't do anything without God's permission, and God is the one who controls him. So what's going on here? If God would have let him go from the beginning, people would think that Bilam is doing what he wants to do. Because everybody knows that Am Yisrael are the children of God. Now, if he is going, it's impossible that God is sending him or letting him go. From the other side, if he lets him go, or he doesn't let him go, there is another problem. If he doesn't let him go, people would think that he's afraid from his curse. Because otherwise, let him go. Who cares? We see also in the end, eventually he couldn't curse. But God wanted everybody to understand and realize, first of all, to go or not to go, it's God deciding. And then, God is not afraid of his curses, because eventually it tells him, go. But what's happening in the morning when he wakes up? In the beginning, the first time, when the messengers come, in Pasuk, yeah, 1 minute, it's Sheni
Yud
Chet. Vayan Bilam. The first time.
The first one is the Sheni Yud Gimel.
Yes, no, it's not Yud Gimel. It's Yud Gimel or Yud Dalet. What is it? No, it's Yud Chet. Yud Chet. No. I'm not looking at the beginning. I'm looking what he's answering there.
Okay, that's right.
The other one is the when he's telling the is going on with the answer. But this is, yes, you're right. ויגון בבוקר ויאמר אל שרי בלעם לכו לארצכם כי מעין השם לתיתי להלוך עמכם. Is something missing here?
So which pasuk is? Yud Chet or Yud?
No, Yud Gimel.
Yud Gimel.
He's not talking anything about cursing or blessing. He's just telling them God doesn't want me to go. That's it. He's not saying what God told him, you cannot curse them. That is not saying. Because maybe he would have said it, it would finish the whole thing. Because if he, Balak, wants him to curse Am Yisrael, and he is telling them right in front, God doesn't want me to go because he doesn't want me to curse Am Yisrael, that's it. So Balak wouldn't send any messengers. But he's not saying it. He's saying, God doesn't let me to go. So what is Balak thinking? Maybe he wants more honor. Okay. The second thing, what's the problem? The problem is the second time, pasuk kaf alef. Vayakom Bilam, you've got it? Vayakom Bilam baboker, vayachbosh et atono, vayalech im sarei Moav. So the Torah is telling us that in the morning he gets up and he takes his donkey and he goes on the way. What is missing here? What do you think?
Nothing stops him.
Yes. He's not telling them that God let him go.
Right. Okay.
He's not mentioning God here. In other words, he wakes up in the morning like he
decided
that he's going to go.
But he also asked Balak meanwhile for some gold and some...
No, what he's telling him... No, on the contrary, he's telling him, even if you're going to give me a full house of gold, I cannot disobey God. Yes.
Okay, so go back home.
But now, when they come the second time, when he wakes up in the morning, he doesn't tell them
that
God gave him permission.
Really, he didn't.
It's just like they are seeing really that he wakes up in the morning and goes after he told them that God doesn't want him to go, which means like this guy's got powers and he can do what he wants. So what is God doing?
What
is God doing to him? He is stopping him three times on the way with the angel. It's a part of the punishment and it's also a part of a warning, because at the end of the day, this guy, he really knows God, and this guy tells everybody that he knows God, believes in God, and listens to God. He did say it in the beginning, so he had to get reward. So God is hinting him, don't go, because it's not going to end good for you, as we all know. Don't go. But Bilam doesn't care. Bilam sees only one thing. He sees gold, he sees money, and he sees he wants to curse Am Yisrael.
He hated Jews.
Think?
Jealousy.
So the angel is stopping the donkey for three times, and the donkey suddenly opens its mouth and talking with Bilam.
This is my favorite.
You know, it's very interesting. You know, we talked about it yesterday.
Yeah.
We talked about it yesterday. It's a very interesting point. People don't think about it. What would happen if animals would talk?
Right.
Why didn't God give the animals the power of speech?
Well,
because he's an animal.
No,
no.
With us. Why?
He's an animal.
All the secrets will come out.
Dr. Doolittle.
What did you say?
All the secrets would come out.
What do you mean?
How people behave.
Did you see what Bilam is doing? The donkey tells, is of the messenger came, and suddenly I see this guy going with a donkey. So I tell him, you're going with a donkey?
Yeah.
You are a rich guy. You are a prophet. Yeah. You are one of the top people of the generation. Haven't you got a horse?
Are you cool?
Like a royalty, they go with don't go with donkeys, they go with horses. So he tells them, yes, of course I've got a horse, but they're on the field, so I'm using the donkey. So the donkey is answering and saying, why do you lie? You're using me.
Always.
Always, you're using me. So they ask, now what is he telling them? Yeah. No, I'm using it for working and for doing things. So the donkey again is answering, no. You're using me all the time. You're riding me all the time. And when he says riding me all the time, it means also other things. And what would you answer this donkey if he tells things like this? You are a liar. Wouldn't you? But can you tell a donkey this is a liar?
No.
Why not?
Because he's a donkey.
And if, as a donkey? No, because as a donkey, he only talks facts.
Yeah.
You have to understand it. A donkey cannot lie. An animal cannot lie. It hasn't got the power of human being. In other words...
Because he's an animal.
Exactly. In other words, if animal would open their mouth, nobody will keep an animal at home.
Yeah.
Because the animal would tell everybody all your secrets. And you cannot tell that the animal is lying. It's like a little kid. A kid says things that he sees. He doesn't know how to lie.
Out of the mouths of babes.
Exactly. So we're always afraid of what is he going to say. Yeah. You know, if we did something wrong, you know, or for example, we hate somebody, or the baby is going to say it. And this is a baby. So think about an animal. An animal definitely doesn't know the difference between lying and this. It doesn't know what it is. So it's going to tell the truth. As we see with Bilam HaRasha. He is admitting that what the donkey is saying is right, because he's got no other option. So, the donkey is talking with Bilam, and we hear the whole story, we know the story. And why is it three times? Which is also very interesting. Three times, why? It's Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara has got away. And there are three stages. The first stage, you can send him away quite easily. The second stage, it's harder. And the third stage, you finished. And this is the one of the Mefarshim says, it's like the story with the prophet and David HaMelech when he tells him about the poor man sheep. The rich man, that a visitor came to him, and he went to his neighbor, his poor neighbor, and took his only sheep that he loves as a daughter, and slaughtered it in order to give his visitor food to eat. And that story also, if we look at it, the man that comes to visit is got three different names. The beginning is called Elech. Somebody who walks on the street. The second time is called guest, oreach. And the third time is called ish, a man. What does it mean? Why is the same person called in three different names? Because the first time, he is a helech, he's outside. He knocks at the door, and you've got the option to tell him, sorry, I don't want you in my house. That's Yetzer Hara. He comes, knocks at the door. You can tell him now, dear Yetzer Hara, bye-bye, don't want you in my house. But if you let him in your house, he is already a guest. And to a guest, you have to behave with honor. Then when you behave to the guest with honor, what happens to the guest? He becomes the balabai. He becomes the master. He becomes a ish. And that's the way Yetzer Hara works. And this is what the Torah is trying to tell us. In the beginning, when Yetzer Hara comes and knocks at our door, we can quite easily send him away. But when we let him in, we are already starting a problem. And this problem can get to the point of no return. Because when Bilam HaRasha, at the third time, when he sees the angel, realizes that God doesn't want him to go, what is the angel telling him? Sorry, you cannot go back. You decided on your way. I warned you two times. This is the third time. You didn't listen. Now you will go and you will say exactly what I'm telling you to say. Then Bilam and Balak are sacrificed, bringing sacrifices to God, and quite a lot of sacrifices.
Seven.
To whom do they bring the sacrifices?
To Hashem.
For what?
To curse the...
Can you believe this story? This is unbelievable. What an unbelievable lesson it is for us. You can be connected to God at the highest level, and do the bad in the eyes of God. That's a lesson for us. Because we also do the same thing. We have got this small Bilam inside us, and sometimes he tells us to do things, and we believe in God. But sometimes he tells us to do things that God doesn't like, doesn't approve, and we still do them. Because of Bilam HaRasha. So the Torah is trying to tell us, be aware of the problem. Because the first thing to fight the enemy is to know the enemy. Know and understand and realize that nobody is immune to this guy which is called Yetzer Hara. Nobody. And the Gemara says, Kol shegadol mechavero, Yitzro gadol mimenu. The greater you are, the greater Yetzer Hara is also. So this is a big lesson. But I think that the most important lesson of this parsha is knowing God and still not be connected in the right way is a problem. I'm writing this Shabbos about this thing of de'ah. What is de'ah? Ladat. What is ladat? To know God. To know God, ladat, if you remember in Bereshit, Bezalel, God gave him chokhmah, bina, v'da'at. And Rashi there explains da'at, the Holy Spirit. Ruach HaKodesh. That's that. What does it mean, Ruach HaKodesh? It means a connection with God. Or, as the Zohar says, the connection between the head and the body. That's the bracha we say, Ata chonen le'adam da'at. What we are really saying in this bracha is, God, we want you, we ask you to give us the knowledge, the wisdom, and to be connected to you, and to connect our mind, our wisdom, our neshama, to the world of doing. Olam hama'aseh. Connect to the body. Which brings us to Me'arat HaMachpelah, where we have our fathers and mothers buried. And we have also, as we also said a few times, the head of Esav. And why is it only the head? Where is the rest of him? The lesson here is unbelievable. We have to understand that Esav and Yaakov are twins. And they were raised up in the same home and in the same schools. In other words, they know the same things. What Yaakov knows, Esav also knows. But what is the big difference? Yaakov puts things to practice what he knows. He knows that's the way to worship God, and he does it. Esav knows what God wants from him, but doesn't do it. He does the opposite. So his head with all the wisdom is in Me'arat HaMachpelah. But the body, he's got no place there. Because he was not connected. Are we connected? Not always. But that's the thing. This is not stories. This is lesson for us how to behave. So that is, by the way, that is also it's like a couple. We say in Bereshit, Ve'adam yada et ishto. In other words, this is the intimate, how you say?
Intimacy
of a couple, which is the highest level of being together. There is no higher level than that. And that's what we're supposed to have with God. That's what Achonel Adam Da'at. Last week, John, my wife, had her birthday.
Mazel tov.
So, I have to show I didn't forget her birthday. So in the morning, it was Friday morning before, I think, I went to buy her
flowers.
Not flowers, a card.
Mazel tov. You are spoiling the America.
I just took her for a cruise. What do you want more?
Yeah. So this is what I'm telling you. You are spoiling the marriage.
And you see the funny thing is you don't understand. The small things. Now, listen to the story. So I'm going here to Biara Kasub. And it's got those. By the way, you cannot find today cards. Today, what they do is they send on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, but you cannot send your internet card. You know, this is so what do? I go there. I go buy a nice card, a Mazel Tov card, and write Mazel Tov, my dear wife, and give it to her. And why? I did my share for the day, just to show her.
I just to show her
I didn't forget her birthday. So I'm going there. I'm finding a card. I want to take it, and then I stop. I said, one minute. This is your wife. You love her. You don't just buy a card. You have to choose a good card. So it took me half an hour. No, really, half an hour to find a normal card, because they're so stupid, those cars sometimes. They are so stupid. You know, I want to read them, put some mind. And then I also write a very nice
note.
And I put her near her bed at night. So when she wakes up in the morning, that's the first thing she's going to see. And you know, when she woke up in the morning and saw this beautiful card near the bed, she was so happy about it. And I thought to myself, this is unbelievable. You know, a small thing. But you show to the one you live with that you love him, that you think of him. That's the idea. And it's also the small thing. You all love a card. But the card did it. Because I chose a very beautiful card and I put it on the bed. It showed my Joanne that I think about her.
You put the card in the bed?
On the night table.
I put myself in the bed. I put the card near the bed.
68 years, I don't think Mom ever said
you see? So, you see, this is Ladat. It's to connect you the things to the doing something with it. Not just talking about it. And not just have the knowledge, okay, my wife's got a birthday, so what? You have to do something about it. And even a small thing shows that you think about it. Now, talking about Ladat, knowledge, we've been in Rhodes last week, a week before, and we went with a tour, and the guide was telling us all about Rhodes, and there's this Jewish quarter there, and there is this place where it's written that 1,600 Jews were killed by the Nazis in Rhodes. And there is a shul also that is functioning, but it's closing on 3 o'clock. So what would you think? You have Jewish people coming to Rhodes with a Jewish guy. What would be one of the first places to go?
To the synagogue.
To see the synagogue. It's an old synagogue. What do you think this guy did? He told us about crusades, he told us about Christians, about everybody. And also about the Jews. And also that there's a shul that closes at 3 o'clock.
And it was 3.
No, 3? He got 4 o'clock, we were not at the shul. He didn't have any intention to get to the shul. And even he didn't, even afterwards, he didn't even go to the shul. And we asked him, can you show us where the shul is? So he showed us, go there and there, that's where the shul is. He didn't even go with us. So we went to the shul, and it was closed, of course. There's nothing to see from the outside. And I was thinking, look, again, this guy's got a lot of knowledge. Dat, Chochmah, Bina, he's got a lot of knowledge. But he's not connected to the right. You go with Israelis, and also a lot of them religious, to a place where there is a Jewish quarter, you walk there, the first thing you should do, if you're connected, go to the shul. Show them the shul. Then you can show them all what the other goyim did there.
I don't agree that you said he has a lot of chokhmah v'bina, because chokhmah v'bina is the beginning. Kodim kol, chokhmah is the sparkle that you know the existence.
Knowledge. Chokhmah is knowledge.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a sparkle that you know that exists God, but you didn't realize yet. Then Bina, you construct your knowledge. And in that, you understand this knowledge.
Well, that is the connection.
Okay, of the connection.
It's to connect. I tell you how it goes. Chochmah, Bina, Da'at. In order to get to that, I need to take Chochmah with Bina, then I have that.
Yeah.
Chokhmah is Avram. Da'at is Yitzchak.
Yitzchak.
It's not Da'at, Slicha. Bina is Yitzchak. And Da'at is Yaakov. Okay? Now, the thing is, when you have Chokhmah and Bina, and you haven't got the Da'at, you've got nothing. Okay. Now, if you have the Da'at, but what's controlling the Da'at is the left side and not the right side, again, you've got nothing.
Okay.
So, in other words, the Da'at is not enough. That's what I'm saying. What you're saying is very nice, but the problem is you have to connect it in the right way. So this guy, he was telling us about the Jews. He was telling us about what's going on. But he was telling us about a lot of other things. And really, if he would connect the Chokhmah with the Bina to the Da'at in the right connection to understand you are going with Israelis, with Jews, that a part of them are religious, what would be the first thing to do? Show them the shul.
He's a Jew?
Yes.
We had a guy that was he was a Rhodesian.
Yeah. Whatever. Agree.
He was take us to see the shul.
But that would be the logical thing to do. That's what I'm saying. We were so aggravated. But again, it's just showing us. You know, this is a small story. Years ago, I went with John to something connected with a teacher, Iguda Amorim, and we went to Tiberias and we were staying in a hotel. It's like the Kotos convention. And then also we have the guide taking us into Tiberia and all around there. And you know what the tour was about?
Very Christian.
I couldn't believe it. Taking Jewish people
how
in the Holy Land,
in a place like Tiberias.
In a place like Tiberias, it's so full with so many Jewish places. And takes us to a Christian tour? Are you crazy? And the nonsense he talked.
Maybe he doesn't know anything else. Maybe he's there.
So again, he's got no that.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
His use maybe.
So in other words,
take only the coin.
Now think how important this blessing is. It's a connection between us and God, between our neshama to the body, and between us to other people, in the right way. Because otherwise, we didn't do it. This is Bila. He knows God. But what is he doing with it?
He gave a blessing.
Yeah. Yes, because God forced him to tell a blessing. And not only a blessing, his blessing.
Beautiful.
You know that Chazal, our sages, wanted to put it in the tefillah. They wanted to put in a part of the tefillah. But it was so long that they decided not to put it in. And this is this Russia. Matovu alecha Yaakov. Who? Every kid knows this. Unbelievable blessing. Which is a different issue. But I want to talk for a few minutes of understanding the idea, what is really knowledge? What is the connection between wisdom and knowledge? And how do you practice all those things? And understanding that believing in God doesn't mean that you're going to do the right in the eyes of God. As we see with Bilam HaRasha and also Bala. You sent me this week this video of this Rav Adam Sinai, which is teaching Kabbalah. Now in the world of Kabbalah, which is the, let's say, those who learn Kabbalah, they say that somebody who doesn't go into the inside of the Torah, he is really not doing the right thing. Because to really be in this world and to understand it and do the right in the eyes of God, you have to connect yourself to the deepest level of the Torah, which is Kabbalah. Kabbalah, the Zohar, whatever, to understand a little more, not to only look at the surface. Our problem is that a lot of times we look only on the surface. We hear things, we don't go inside, and we sometimes even don't hear the whole thing, and we already got to conclusions. Now, they asked Rav Adam Sinai to talk about those three kids that were killed. Because there was a whole, really a very bad atmosphere in the land. So they really, let's say, almost forced him to talk about it, to tell them. He's called Rav Adam Sinai. That's his name. So they asked him to the Talmidim asked him to tell the Talmidim what is his opinion about what's going on. So he gives this whole lecture, and unfortunately, if people don't learn Kabbalah and don't know his opinions, they can get to a wrong conclusion. And what do I mean? He talked there about Am Yisrael wanting peace. We don't want war. And to shout to kill the Arabs is not the right thing to do, because this is not our tradition, this is not our religion. We don't want to kill nobody. We want to live with peace with everybody, and we want to make peace in the whole world. That's the general idea of being Jewish. Look at our prayers, they're all talking about shalom. Say shalom bimromah, yaseh shalom aleinu. Everything is shalom. Shalom, 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 shalom. That is our mission in the world. But from the other side, you have to understand, if the enemy comes to fight with you, you fight back. Not only fight back, you also abba le'orgecha ashkem le'orgo. You will even go out before he comes to you. Because if you know that he wants to kill you, you have not only the right, you have the obligation and the duty to go and kill him. But that's not what we want. We have to make the definition. We don't want to kill nobody. We kill only because we have to, because we have no other option. But when the Arabs, if they want to make real peace with us, they are welcome. And by the way, just talking about it, I've been last week in Bar Ilan when they got the how do you call it? Graduator, like a BA and MA and
graduation.
And you know, I walked there in Bar Ilan, which is a religious university. You know how many Arabs were walking there? I think at least 30% Arabs.
When my daughter went to Bar Ilan, they passed the law that the men in Bar Ilan must all, the Jewish men, must go wear kippot because the girls didn't know the difference between
the Arabs and the Jews. So, and I thought to myself, look at this. This is like Aharit HaYamim. Because you see, everybody's smiling, and everybody did learn the same thing, and everybody there. It's nice. This is the real world. This is what we want to. We don't want to fight with nobody. And this is what Ramadan Sinai says. It doesn't say anything else. From the other side, when he was talking about Shalom Achshav, he didn't talk about Shalom Achshav. What we know as Shalom Achshav. This is not Shalom Achshav. This is Milchama Achshav. Because they are stupid and they're only looking at the surface and they don't even understand what they're talking about. And the funny thing is always, I'm always saying it, you know, all those lefties that are one side, they go with all the gays, and the other side they want to do peace with the Arabs, don't realizing that the first thing that the Muslims will do will kill all the gays. Which is funny, you know, that it's so funny to see it, but it's just showing you that the whole thing is just from the outside. It's not from the inside. But what we want is a real peace. And a real peace is only one way to do it. The way of God. When we connect ourselves to God. When we take the dot that is connected to God and connects us with God and with our friends, then we can achieve peace. But if we do it from the outside, or shout peace, 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 shalom achshav, let's sit and talk with the Arabs, let's do peace with them, and all what we do is just talking with no real acid in it, with no real thinking in it, this is not peace. And this is definitely what the Arab Adam Sina is talking about. So you have to understand, when you listen to him now, listen to it again, as I told you. And take it in that the idea is, first of all, when we talk about peace, also talking about those things that are in real life, we have to understand that everything has got a depth. And we should never look at the outside. The outside is a cover. And sometimes it's a cover-up. And when it's a cover-up, we can fall in it. Look at Bilam. What did he do? God doesn't let me to go with you. A tzaddik. Is he a tzaddik? So in other words, we need to have, that's a tachonen la'adam da'at. A tachonen la'adam da'at. We want the chokhmah, the binah, and the da'at. We need the chokhmah, we need the fact, we need the knowledge, we need the binah, that the binah is taking the knowledge and building things out of it, but we have to put it in olam ha-ma'aseh. We have to connect it to the da'at. The da'at has to connect us to the real life. But only to the wisdom of God, not other wisdom. This is what we think outside, or what we say, chitzoni and pnimi, the inside and the outside. And if we connect the inside with the outside, that's perfection. This is shalom, shalem. To connect the inside with the outside is perfection, in the right way, of course. Shkoyach.
Correct.